If you will, be going and turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. We'll begin there in just a few moments. Good morning. It is a good morning. Not because the sun is out or the birds are chirping this morning. Although those things are good and we are glad that God has granted us with those blessings. But it is a good morning because God is on His throne as He always is. It is a good morning because we are gathered together today to worship Him. It is a good morning because God is a God of encouragement, of comfort, and He will give us victory. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I'm glad we can share in this time. I know many of you are hurting. I am hurting. We go through so many struggles. We face so many hardships in life. But there is victory to be found. We do press on because we know that we have hope in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think the sermon that I'm going to present this morning fits fairly well with the mood of the congregation this morning. I want to talk about looking upward through the storms of life. When the storm rages around us, when we are tempest-tossed, when the waves are crashing down, when hardships come our way, when we are facing trials, when we are grieving, when we are mourning, where do we look to? In what direction do we look? Where do we receive our comfort from? I want to share a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, a great transcendentalist writer. He said, "Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, but faith looks up." That's the direction I want to take and our study this morning. Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, but faith looks up. So let's first look at the example of Judas and his sorrow, Matthew chapter 27. We can experience sorrow in many ways. Oftentimes it is guilt or it is grief. In the case of Judas, it is the former. Let's begin reading in verse 1. "When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. And then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' They said, 'What is that to us? See to it yourself.' And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and went and hanged himself." Judas, who had betrayed our Savior, Judas, who had betrayed the man that he followed around for 3 years, his friend, the one whom he saw do miracles, the one for whom he spoke about himself, Judas betrayed him, an innocent man. And his sorrow caught up to him eventually. He realized what he had done. He was grieving for what he had done. It appears that he was truly sorry for what he had done, and he wanted to make amends, so he takes the money back. And he says, "I've messed up. Reverse this. Do something about it." And they said, "We're not concerned with your troubles. We're not concerned with your sorrow. See to it yourself." And we see how Judas handles it. He hangs himself. Judas, in his sorrow, he looks back at what he had done, and he is not able to overcome that. That is the undertow effect of sorrow. It pulls him back. It inhibits him from moving forward. Think about when you're driving in a car. If you're constantly looking in the rearview mirror, you're not going to be able to move forward effectively. And that's here what happens to Judas. He is looking back at what he did. He's looking back at his guilt and his sorrow, and he is not able to move forward. He is so caught up and what he is doing, and what he has done, and his sorrow, that it makes it hard for him to look up. It makes it hard for him to look for a solution. Because he is so depressed, he is so sorrowful for what he has done. And yes, Judas did a very, very bad thing. But I'm sure the Lord would have forgiven him. Judas did a very, very bad thing, but it is something that he could have overcome. He could have had life after this. And yet, in his sorrow, he looked back. And it made it hard for him to look up. And then finally, sorrow sees no solution. Judas was drowning here in his guilt and his sorrow. If I can continue this metaphor of this storm. He was drowning in what he had done. And so he saw no solution. He was not able to see that there was light at the end of the tunnel. He was not able to see that he would be able to overcome the waves that were crashing around him. Judas drowned, metaphorically speaking, because he could not move on from his sorrow and what he had done in his past. Sorrow causes us to look back at the things that we have done and inhibits us from being able to move forward. It inhibits us from being able to see a solution. Sorrow looks back. Imagine if Peter was drowned in this sorrow, was engulfed by his sorrow, just as Judas was, after he betrayed Jesus by denying him 3 times. Or what about Paul, after being a persecutor of the church? What if he was never able to look forward because of the things that he had done? Paul did some pretty nasty things. What if these two men were not able to look forward? What if they were not able to look up to God after doing the things that they had done? Those would have been great losses for the kingdom. When we allow our sorrow to take control of our lives, when we allow it to drown us, to where we see no solution, to where we cannot move forward, to where we can't get down on our knees and pray to God and say, God, I am sorry for what I have done. Help me to move on from this. Help me to make this better. When we allow sorrow to do that to us in our lives, we're going to end up with a similar fate as Judas. We might not do what Judas did in ending his life, but it will have a similar devastating effect on our lives and on our effectiveness in the kingdom of God. Sorrow looks back, brothers and sisters. Yes, we are sorry, and I'm not saying that we cannot be sorrowful for the things that happen, the losses that we experience in our lives, the griefs that we bear. There is a time for mourning, and I think we understand that. But we cannot let it rule our lives to the point where we are ineffective members of the kingdom. We cannot let it rule our lives to where we do nothing. And as Judas lost his own life because he was not able to move forward, we can lose our own lives in our sorrow. We see it happening. People become depressed. They lose their faith. They lose their hope. They give themselves over to drinking and other things to try to fill that void. And their sorrow causes ruin to their lives. Sorrow looks back. We cannot be people that look back. Second statement that Emerson said was, worry looks around. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we'll see the effect of worry in someone's life. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we're going to be reading about King Asa. King Asa had an opportunity to be a good king. In fact, he is described as a man who pleased the Lord in what he did. We know that King Asa had several religious reforms that he did, that he tried to get the people back to a state where they should be in worshiping God. He did several good things. He trusted in the Lord when he went out to battle on occasion. He talked to the Lord, or inquired of the Lord, rather. And he was overall a good king. But in his last years, he got blinded by worry. He saw things that were coming against him, and they brought him down. And they provided a hindrance for him. Let's begin reading 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 1. It says, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha king of Israel went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might permit no one to go out or to come in to Asa king of Judah. Then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, this is a covenant between me and you. As there was war between my father and your father, behold, I am sending to you silver and gold. Go break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he might withdraw from me. Drop down to verse 7. It says, at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army
of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars. So here King Asa goes and he trusts in another king and another nation because he's worried about what Baasha, king of Israel, has done. And instead of trusting in God as he did in the case with the Ethiopians and the Libyans, when they had great armies, he trusted in God then and God delivered him then. This time he becomes worried. And in his worry, he looks around. Worry creates an unnecessary distraction, brothers and sisters. You look at the waves that are around you instead of looking to the lighthouse. Asa lost sight of God and he looked at these other nations. He saw these things that were happening around him. And he let his worry ruin him. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus says, "Which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" Isn't that the truth, brothers and sisters? So many bad things happen in our lives. So many things happen that do not go our way. And we worry about them as if that can do something. And yet that just creates an unnecessary distraction for us that inhibits us from being able to actually solve the problem. Worry looks around. Worry creates an unnecessary distraction. Secondly, worry is cumbersome. Here, Asa is so encumbered by this worry that he has of these other nations, by this threat of Baasha, king of Israel, that he even takes from the house of the Lord, and he takes from the king's house, and he gives that money to another nation, as he is encumbered by this threat that Baasha presents against him. Worry brings us down, brothers and sisters. It presents us with a heavy load that we cannot bear. We worry about things that we cannot control. And all it does is bring us down. All it does is weigh us down. It's heavy on the heart and the mind. Here Asa was affected by this type of worry. Worrying makes things worse oftentimes. The words of Hanani, the seer, in verse 9 says, "You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars." Because Asa trusted in this other nation instead of trusting in God, which was a result of his worry, he is going to have many wars now. We know that the resulting acts of Asa after this are going to leave him diseased until death. When we worry, we tend to mess things up. We tend to make rash and harsh decisions. We make things worse. We can capsize the boat, or we can shipwreck ourselves when we act foolishly, just as Asa did, making matters worse for himself by worrying. Ultimately, worry denotes a lack of trust in God. We shouldn't worry about our lives. We shouldn't worry about where our next meal is going to come from, because we know that God is going to provide for us if we just look to Him. Now, He might not provide for us in the way that we think He should or the way that we would like, but we know that He will provide for us. So instead of worrying about what is going on, instead of being sorrowful and being held back by the cares of this world, let's look up. Let's look up to God. I don't think I have it in me to continue this lesson much longer. But let's turn to Psalm chapter 121. Let's look at what faith does. Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, but faith looks up. Faith sees hope. Faith sees that there is a God in heaven, that He will and wants to help you. Let's read Psalm chapter 121. The psalmist says, "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved.
He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the psalmist says. Our help comes from the Lord. When times get hard, when we are facing trial, when we are struggling, when we are faced with loss and grief resulting from that loss, we need to look up to God. Faith looks up. God is our help. He is our comfort. We need to look up to receive comfort and rest. God will calm the storm. And He might not do it in a way that we expect. Sometimes it's introspectively. God's going to calm the storm in me. And what that means is that He might not solve the problem. He might not take away the loss or heal the person for whom you're praying. He might not take away your sickness. He might not give you the job that you're wanting. He might not put you in a better financial situation, but what He will do, as we sung earlier, He will give you hope. He will make it well with your soul because you can have hope, you can have faith that it's going to get better. Maybe not in this life, but in the next for certain it will. God is on His throne, brothers and sisters, and we can look to Him to receive comfort and rest. Jesus says as much in Matthew chapter 11. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. That doesn't necessarily mean, as I just stated, that He is going to deliver us from the problems in this life. But ultimately, He will deliver us. God is near to the brokenhearted. We need to look up to God in times of trouble to receive guidance. God is going to be that lighthouse in our storm. God is going to be the thing that guides us to a better situation, to a better place. We know that Christ's light shines brightly in the darkness. Christ is described as the light of men that shines out of the darkness in John chapter 1. God will be that guide. Christ will be that guide. If we only look up to Him in faith, we can receive that light. We can follow Him in the path that He has created for us. And finally, we look up for motivation. We look up, we see the example that Christ set for us as He suffered so much. He came from glory in heaven to this earth to be subject to corruption, to be mistreated by His own kinsmen, to be beaten and bruised at the hands of Romans, to die a painful, humiliating death on a cross. He endured the shame for us. Let's look to His example for motivation. Let's look up to God. See what He's done for us in the past. See what He has promised that He will do for us. And receive the motivation that we need to move forward. God will give us the motivation to navigate the waves, to go through the storm. We need to look up to God, brothers and sisters. My comments this morning have been short, but I hope they have been effective in this time of grieving, in this time of loss. We need to be looking upward to God. We need to trust in God, trust in the Lord when we experience sadness, when we experience moments of anxiety. He will deliver us. He will deliver us just as He delivered Christ from death. Ultimately, we will be with Him in heaven if we trust in Him, if we endure till the end. In Hebrews 11, all those people are said to have overcome. All those people, those heroes of faith like Abraham, like Moses, like Sarah, they overcame, they did what they did because they had faith. And it was faith that got them through. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. The beloved apostle tells us that faith is the victory. Faith is what will allow us to overcome. We need to look up in faith, brothers and sisters. Look up and be delivered just as Christ was. God offers us comfort. He offers us peace. He offers us rest. But we must look up to Him. Let us not be drowned by our sorrow. Let us not be engulfed by our worry. But let us look up to God, who is our Redeemer, our Savior, our Creator, who wants us to be with Him in glory. Let's look up to God, brothers and sisters. Maybe you are experiencing this evening some hardship. Maybe that has caused you to act in ways that you should not be acting, to think in ways that you should not be thinking. I certainly experienced some of that this past week. But God calls us to come back to Him, to repent of our sins, to repent of the things that we have been doing wrong. Look up to God, ask for forgiveness of those sins. Maybe you've never come to God, and you realize that this life is not easy. You realize that there are hardships in this life. God offers comfort to each and every one of us. We can each say that it is well with our souls, not because everything is okay, but because we know that it will be. But brothers and sisters, if there is any one of you in this audience who has not yet put on Christ, you don't have that hope, sadly. You cannot say with assurance that it is well with your soul. But by putting on Christ through baptism, by entering into a relationship with the God of this universe, you can have that assurance. You only need to do so by looking up to Him in faith. If you're subject to either of these invitations, we ask that you come forward as we stand and as we sing.